Hey, we're in the summer blockbuster series. It's a blockbuster. Are you enjoying the blockbuster? Three people. Well, I'm having fun. I like, it's stories that still speak. So there's stories in the Bible that they may have been stories, historical stories of God's working and interaction with people, but they're stories that still speak today. So whenever you read the Word of God, you should always be looking for Jesus on every page. Jesus. If you see something in there that doesn't look like Jesus, then you need to look again. You need to study it again. You need to ask the Holy Spirit to give you revelation because it's Jesus on every page. How do I know that? Because the greatest theologian ever was Jesus. And on the road to Emmaus, when you had two guys that were shattered by what they'd experienced when they saw Jesus crucified, their dreams were shattered and broken, and they were leaving their destiny, walking away from God's purpose. But Jesus caught up with them. And what did he do? It says all the way from Genesis to Malachi, he showed them himself. Say himself. All the way through, he showed them himself. And they said, did not our hearts burn within us? So God will come. Even if you're going the wrong way, God will catch up to you. And he'll show you himself. And he'll bring you into the fullness of his purpose. That's good, isn't it? That's good. So we're going to look at our next blockbuster. And we're going to ask a question. I know Mauricio last night was telling me that he loves Avengers. And I said, that's okay. You can love the Avengers. I'm not a fan of that stuff. How many are a fan of superhero movies and Avengers? You just love that stuff? Get a life. You know. I'm not kidding. I was watching a Superman movie once, and you know, the nasty person comes out of the sky and Superman rises up, and then they're throwing each other around and they're wrecking a whole small town. And I reckon if you're going to be a superhero, it's not super to ruin the town. If you do ruin the town, you should at least show that you came the next day and put it back together again. I mean, you're not a superhero if you just made a mess. Who cares if you, you know, cast out the dumb evil guy? You made a mess of everything doing it. If you're a superhero, do it in a more, meet him up in the sky, beat him up there. Don't wreck my home. I don't know. That just always bothers me. It doesn't bother you. I'm concerned about those people. Those are real people with businesses and lives. And I don't think Superman cares. So, you know, if he don't care, he's not Superman. I don't know. Don't get me started. So, no more Avengers. No one. Put him out of business. Come on. Was that an amen I heard out there? I want to go see Odyssey, though. I mean, Gord went and saw Odyssey already. So anybody seen Odyssey already? Pat, you went and saw it with Gord? Eyes closed. Well, that means it's some nasty scenes in there. I don't know anybody else. My hard part about movies is some of them are so long now. I mean, I just end up taking a big nap. And I spend the whole time with Cheryl elbowing me so that I, you know, don't snore. But I mean, I can nap at home. I don't got to pay $25 to do that. Amen. Okay, let's get into the blockbuster. Avengers, save the world. 2 Kings 6. Say 2 Kings 6. That's where we're going today. And the question is Elisha a goner? Is Elisha a goner? Because, man, I'm telling you, there's some bad stuff going on. And we want to know, is Elisha going to make it through the day? All right? Now, I'm such a kind pastor. I put all the scriptures on the board. Although, you know, you should follow along with at least your tablet, your iPhone, or whatever you got. If you're one of those backslidden people and you have one of those other phones, do that. But let's start in verse 8, chapter 6, verse 8. Now, everybody say now. Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servant, saying, my camp will be in such and such a place. And the man of God, say, man of God. The man of God sent the king of Israel a saying, beware that you do not pass by that place, for the Syrians are going to be coming there. Then the king of Israel would send someone to that place, which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or not twice, but several times the Syrian king would show up with his armies and somebody ratted out what our plans were. And man, what a waste of time. Therefore, the heart of the king of Assyria was greatly troubled. He was greatly troubled by these things. And he called his servants and he said to them, "Who's the rat? Who's the spy? Which one of you clowns is getting paid off by Israel and telling them where I'm going to be?" That's what he said. He said, "Who is it? Show me which one of you is actually for the king of Israel." And one of his servants said, this is amazing that the servants of the king in Syria, they knew this. The Syrian people knew this. And one of his servants said, "There's no spies here, Lord. There's nobody sharing your plans with the king of Israel. There's no one, O king, but Elisha." Say Elisha. "Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words you speak in your bedroom." That's a little weird, but anyways, you know. But it means that whatever is going on, whatever plans you are making, whatever's happening, Elisha already knows what's going on. That's Elisha. Elisha. So he said, "Well, go and see where he is that I may send and get him." Now, it interests me, if Elisha always knows what you're doing, then no matter what your plans are, even to go get him, Elisha already knows that too. So, Elisha, and he said to him, "Find out where he is." And they said, "Surely he is in Dothan." So therefore, he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and they surrounded the city. Everybody was asleep. They were all tucked in their beds. And while they were resting peacefully, the enemy was building a circle around the city, ready to put a chokehold on the city and shut the whole place down. You went to bed, everything was good, and you woke up and you were surrounded. Surrounded, but I've never been so free. Right? You may think that I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It might look like I'm, is that how it goes? It might look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Has anybody ever woke up, you felt surrounded? You woke up alarmed, you woke up, turned on the TV, something happened, you got a call, you had an email overnight, something went down and you went, every day, you feel like that every day. This sermon is for you, Jen. You are here for it. All right. So they came by night and they surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God, say man of God, when the servant of the man of God arose early to get out, make the bacon and eggs, run to Tim's, get a coffee for the man of God, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, that's what he said. He said, "Alas, my lord, my master, what are we going to do? I mean, the whole army of Syria surrounded the city. What are we going to do?" He's the servant of the man of God. The sad thing is that the servant of the man of God did not know the God of the man. Let me run that by you one more time. See, now Elijah had Elisha as his servant, and Elijah released a double portion anointing in Elisha, and Elisha didn't just serve Elijah, he understood the God of Elisha. He understood the God of Elijah. But here we have this servant, and this servant served the man of God, but he did not know the God of the man. He served a man of God and he watched things go on, but he never understood and participated in the revelation of what he walked in. He rose early and he went out, and he saw the army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. He said, "Alas, my servant." He said, "What are we to do?" He said, "Do not fear, Jen." He said, "Do not fear, Jen, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Amen. Do not fear. Don't ever fear. Because they, no matter what it looks like, no matter what the circumstances are, there is a God who is for you. He has better resources, more resources. He's got a bigger army. He's more powerful than anything that is created because he's the creator of all things. He can speak out of nothing and create a breakthrough for you. So you are always condemned every single day of your life to a life of victory. You wake up, shake your head and say, another day of joy, another day of victory. You check your emails and it doesn't matter what's in there because you're surrounded by God and you're condemned to victory every moment of your life. Alas, Pastor, what are we going to do? He said, those who are with us are more than those who are against us. So the servant's problem wasn't poor eyesight. It wasn't that he couldn't see because he could see. It was incomplete sight. It wasn't that he couldn't see. It's that he couldn't fully see. And you see, we can see things, and I would never ask you to deny what's going on in your life. Deny the challenges in your world. I'm not telling you that. I'm just telling you, see past that. See the bigger picture. Step back 50,000 feet and realize that God is bigger than whatever is going on in your life. Amen. Amen. So he saw accurately. He just didn't see fully. Serving without spiritual senses. Are you serving God without spiritual senses? Are you serving God and you can see, you can hear, and you can see what's going on in this realm? I mean, you're intoxicated by the leaven of the Pharisees, which is do, 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 perform, perform, perform. And the leaven of Herod was whatever's going on in this world, that's what's powerful. See, those leavens will corrupt you. And Jesus said to them, don't get messed up with the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Don't get messed up with religious performance and don't get messed up with the affairs of this earth. Don't let it rob you of your spiritual senses because we live out of the unseen realm. We live out of the very kingdom of God. We are not subject to these things. They, in fact, are subject to us. Thank you, Joey. We're going to put a chair up here for Joey and whatever he does, you do. All right, so. Serve, sir. Are you serving without spiritual senses? All right, let me show you a picture. You ready? Ah! How many turned on your car, started driving, and the engine light came on? I'm like, call Cheryl. Cheryl, the engine light came on. What are you calling me for? Had to share it with somebody. How many still have your engine light on? How many? Dylan's got about 20 lights on his dashboard, but he's like, praise Jesus. He just keeps running. It's all good, you know. Boom, boom. We're going to make it. I love it. It's so good. I'm looking over there. It's like a Christmas tree. And we're driving to church. I'm like, oh, ah, I got a problem. All right, give me another picture. Did you see that? I got out of the car, I drove down, and I had to stop and take a picture at the stoplight because I went, sent it to Cheryl, I said, it's $183.9. Settle down. All right. Let me give you another picture. You ever get a few of those? If you ever get those, please don't ignore it. Call the utility and say, let's make a deal. Honest to goodness, they will make a deal. They don't like being ignored. If they're ignored, they think you've left the country and they're not sure what's going on, and they will turn off your hydro. So please, if you ever get one of those, call and say, everything is okay. Let's make a deal. That was free advice for you right there, but it was good stuff, good stuff. Now, let me show you another picture. All right, there you go. My wife shared her testimony on Wednesday night. If you weren't here, you missed it because it was amazing, I tell you. I sat there on the edge of my chair. I know the whole story, and yet I was sitting there going, oh, my goodness. It was like I just wanted to hear more. But, you know, Cheryl and I, I was in business, Cheryl was working, and we were doing well. We bought a house when the interest rates were 20%, and we had a home, and then we wanted to move to Toronto. We moved to Toronto, and I was there wanting to buy a house because the territory that I was servicing was metro all the way to like Highway 115 up to Highway 7, but most of my business was in metro. And I was coming in from Peterborough all the time. And so I wanted to be in metro. So we sold our home and we packed everything up and we moved to Toronto and stepped into my parents' home for a bit and started looking for where's the best place to live. And while I was with my dad and mom, my dad said, you know that money from selling your house? I went, yeah, we're going to put it into another house. And he said, no, you should use it to go to Bible school. And I went, oh, whoa. And I thought that I'll apply for Bible school. Clearly, they'll hear from God and say no, because I'm a bit of a mess and I'm just getting myself together. So they will know. God will open the heavens. And when they're saying, yay, should we let him come? They'll clearly say no. So I thought I'll apply, get a no, and get on with my life. Well, I applied. And you know what happened? They said yes. When I got there and I looked at the rest of the candidates, I realized the only thing necessary was you had to have a pulse. And I had a pulse. And I was like, Lord Jesus. So my wife has a funny bunch of math. She said we sold everything and left and went to the States with $15,000. She didn't do the books back then. I wouldn't have gone to the States with that. Well, we had about 40 grand in the bank, went down there, figured if we worked the summers, we got a few other things, we'll make this thing happen. We'll get it done. So we're all ready to go. I've resigned my job. We got all our money put aside. The exchange rate was stupid back then too. So when I went and I took the first $8,000, so we're going to take $8,000 with us the first time around. And I took that, said, can I put that in American? My $8,000 turned into $5,200. I was like, oh God. But thank God, down in the States back then, gas was under $1 a gallon. And you could buy a full-size turkey for like 19 cents. They were on sale at the store right at Thanksgiving time. I went, 19 cents for a turkey? Are you kidding me? It was like a penny a pound because they wanted to sell all the other stuff. But hey, what a deal. So we got some turkey. So I had this car. This car is there because we sold everything. And I had this car. We had three cars, got rid of our cars, and I sold this car. And this car, I listed it for $5,000. It was a beautifully restored, a 1968 MG Midget. And, it had a couple problems. I knew it did, but, you know, I said I'm going to sell it for $5,000 certified. And so a young man showed up and he said, I'll give you $4,800 today as is. And I went, tell you what, let me certify it because I'm not sure what's quite wrong with it, but I'll certify it because I got a schedule. No way, man. I don't want somebody to come and give you a better deal. So I want it today. I got to have it, got to have it, got to have it. So he gave me $4,800 and I gave him a bill of sale, which said as is. Do you know what as is means? It means as is. Anyways, now another little part of the story. My brother and I, we were in business for a while and I had a car accident and I was going to rent a car and my brother said, oh no, let me go get it for you because one of our clients is a rental agent and I'll go get the car from him and give some business to our client. So he went and picked me up a car to drive around while my car was getting fixed. So the car that I had to drive around while my car was, who's tracking with me? Who's following me? So the car that I had while my car was getting fixed, I'm driving around. So the car that I had that I'm driving around while my car is getting fixed, that car, a guy goes through a light and hits me. And I'd already been hit by a guy through the light, totaled my other car. And I'm like, what on earth? I was just like, oh my goodness. I had three accidents in like 3 months. It was stupid. Anyways, that had been a couple of years before. So here I am, I get a letter in the mail that this young guy who wanted to buy my car for $4,800 as is, he sent a letter from a lawyer suing me because he said there's a lot of problems with the car. And I'm like, dude, I told you that I would certify it. I'll get it done. You wanted it as is, so you got it as is. Not a chance. But he's suing me for like another $5,000. I said, I wasn't even charging $5,000. So I'm like, well, and you know what? I'm ready to leave in 2 weeks for Bible school. So I just felt, what is going on? This is the hand of the devil coming against me. I'm going to serve my destiny, and the enemy is trying to rob me. Then I get another letter in the mail from another lawyer, and the car that I rented, my brother rented, so that I could drive that car while my other car was getting fixed. That car that got hit by somebody else, the car that I was driving because my car wasn't getting fixed. So that car, apparently, it wasn't my fault, but apparently the insurance company was going to sue me because the car I was driving, my brother ticked off the box that nobody under 25 will drive the car. And I was 22. So the insurance company was suing me for the whole mess because I shouldn't have been driving the car. So I called my brother and stuck a fork in his eye. I really didn't. I wanted to, but I resisted. And I said, what's going on? Now, I'm feeling surrounded. I'm feeling pressure. I'm feeling there's no good news anywhere, just bad news everywhere. And in all of this, what am I doing? I'm trying to serve God. I'm trying to give you the best years of my life. Why don't you watch out for me? Why is this happening to me? Can you feel that? Let me, oh, you can? Okay, I was going to try again. Now, fortunately, Cheryl's uncle worked for one of the largest law firms on Bay Street in Toronto. So she called him, and he said, don't worry about it, I'll take care of it. So he wrote a few letters to these people, said, all right, we're going to settle for this, we're going to settle for this. So he said, it's going to cost you about $1,000. I'm not charging you nothing, but look, I'm going to settle this with these people. We'll get rid of it for about $1,000. Is that going to work? I said, that's a lot better than what they're trying to do to me. I mean, thank you so much, this is good. So anyways, he sends them a letter, and I get more letters in the mail. Both law firms increased their lawsuit. And they said, if you can hire that law firm, you must have lots of money. Literally, that's what they said. They said, if you got really deep pockets, if a firm that size, one of the biggest law firms in Canada is representing you, you got more in there somewhere. So I call her uncle John. I said, John, thanks for everything, you know, but holy cow, like, they're going to steal everything from me. And he said, don't worry about it. So all of a sudden, I got a couple letters in both places, had settled for exactly what John said. And I went, wow. So I gave him a check for $1,000. I said, how did you do that? I told him, you are correct. We are one of the biggest law firms in the country. And because we are one of the biggest law firms in the country, if you don't back off and settle this thing, I will make it my job to crush you, to crush your firm. I will keep you in court until your grandkids. And I went, and he says, and I will not charge my nephew a cent. I will crush you. And I would never do that. I'm too kind to do that. But thank you, Jesus. He worked it out. But I have to tell you, that was a weird experience. You ever had one of those experiences? Maybe you're going through one right now. But I'm here to tell you, you know what? God is going to see you through. And God's going to work it out. And that you can trust him in this whole situation. Let me move on. Say, move on, Pastor. Move on. All right, we're going to go through this fairly quickly, but give me the next slide. You got the next slide? I know. Your body reacts preparing for survival. When things happen, your body doesn't ask permission of your brain. It doesn't ask permission of your spirit. When something happens and you see something, your body reacts without you even speaking to it. I mean, right away, your heart starts, you're breathing, your muscles. I mean, look, there's a person in front of you, but they're all tense. They're just sitting there in the chair like this. Your muscles tense up. I mean, your body starts to manifest. It says your hearing changes. Like, all I was hearing was my life is over. Oh, no, all my money is gone. Things are done. And all of a sudden, I couldn't hear anything else except, I can't believe this is happening to me, poor me. And I mean, all of a sudden, you start racing. You get bad news. It's rough. Your stomach shuts down. Your stomach shuts down. I mean, how many, when you hear bad news, you can't eat? You just lose your appetite. Three people. Jen, where are you going? This sermon's for you. You're serving Jesus over there? Make sure you watch it. I'm going to quiz you. I'm going to tell you, if you don't understand every point, I heard you. Love you. Stomach. Say stomach. Now me, I'm the kind of guy that my whole body floods with cortisol, so I don't lose my appetite. My body, I see something I don't like, and my body immediately says, 3 cheeseburgers. Huh? Is anybody else like that? I mean, I'm running to the Mandarin. You know, because I feel terrible, but if my belly's full, everything's okay. And your body will do that. You will do that. So some people have anxious disorders and they eat. And I kind of do that. As long as my belly's full, praise Jesus, I'm going to make it through today. I mean, Pat fed me so much last night. I had 2 massive bowls. Cheryl said she wasn't having dessert. I said, take dessert. I said, no, I don't want dessert. I said, take a bowl. She says, but I'm fine. She said, I said, just take it. Try it. Just stick a fork in it. So I figured, I'm having 2 bowls of this for sure. Okay, your stomach shuts down. Stomach shuts down. Or it says, feed me. You're thinking narrow. It's literally your whole brain. You can't even think anything. You can't think of anything else. You just like, you forget stuff. You get messed up. And you're just tunnel thinking on that whole thing. You get, your sleep disappears because your mind won't settle down and you get exhausted. Your body reacts. It doesn't ask for permission. It's involuntary. Boom. It shows up and all of a sudden, your body speaks to you and tells you that you are in pain and you're messed up. Mark chapter 8, 17 to 18. Do you not perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened, having eyes you do not see and having ears you do not hear and you do not remember? How many have eyes? I got eyes. What's he talking about? I mean, I can see, I can hear. What's he talking about? No, he's not talking about these. He's not talking about these senses. He's saying you have ears and eyes in the spirit. Eyes to see and ears to hear come from God. You can see and you can hear beyond the circumstance. You have revelation in God, and you can apply heaven into your circumstances. I mean, is your heart that dull? Is your heart that hard that you don't perceive that you're serving a God of incredible breakthrough and that every day you're condemned to victory? But you see, when we lose our faculties in the spiritual realm, we begin to forget what's really going on. So we talked about this in relationship to crossing over. They fed the 5,000 and they said, let's go, let's cross over. And you know, they participated in a miracle. Their hands were involved in the supernatural. They participated in it. It happened while they were doing it. They broke it and the miracle exploded. They get in the boat, they're crossing over, and Jesus is like sleeping. I mean, the boat is tossing. It's a violent storm. Water's coming in. Jesus' pillow is soaked with water, and he's still sleeping. Babies are cute, but Jesus sleeping when you're in trouble, not so much. But he's snoozing there. And then finally they said, don't you care? And they were filled with water and they were in jeopardy. And they came to him and woke him, saying, Master, are you not concerned that we're perishing? How many take all your concerns to Jesus? How many run to Jesus when you have a problem? How many say, Jesus, wake up, I'm having a struggle here? How many take everything to Jesus? I mean, that's what they did. He got rebuked for taking things to Jesus. He got rebuked for saying, Jesus, help me. How many have said, Jesus helps me 10 times this week? Peter got rebuked for that. Pay attention. Jesus got rebuked for waking. Peter got rebuked for waking Jesus up in a time of trial. Why? Because he's operating out of physical senses and not spiritual senses. Master, don't you care? There's a raging water and all these things, but Jesus got up and he spoke and rebuked it and everything changed. But he said to them, not, don't you have faith? He said, where is your faith? I mean, where is it? You got it. Everyone, each of us have been given a measure of faith. Where is your faith? You see, did you learn nothing by the miracle that you were involved in? Did you not learn that you've got authority over nature, that you can operate in the supernatural? Did you not realize that you are participating in miracles? You are a miracle worker. Lesson is over. Let's have an object lesson. He falls asleep. A storm comes up. They should have spoke to their storm. But instead they went, can you join me in prayer right now? I'm having a problem. Come, let's wake up Jesus. Jesus, I got bad news. Just wondering if you can help me out. No! Where's your faith? And they were afraid, and they marveled, saying to one another, who can this be? I mean, what kind of man just says, stop to a storm? What kind of man are you? What kind of woman are you? You're supernatural. You have access to the heavenly realm. You are ready and you have all the qualifications to call heaven into earth in every circumstance of your life. You don't have to stir up Jesus or wake up Jesus. When he was on the cross, he said, it is finished. And it's your turn. You've been flooded and saturated with the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, so that you, as he is, so are we in this world. So you are to reign and rule over every single circumstance. He is the King of Kings. And you reign and you rule and you are a high priest, a priest of God, made us kings and priests. We can move heavy cargo from heaven to earth. We don't have to ask Jesus to do it. He said, I will give you my name, and in my name you take authority over any other thing, and whatever you take authority over, whatever you loose, whatever you bind, it'll be done for you, but you do it. So that changes your prayers. Your prayers are not begging Jesus to do something. Your prayers are calling him to manifest in your circumstance. So it's time to exercise your spiritual senses. It's time to grow up. So God's solutions are not on the way. They're not held up by Canada Post. It's not some storm or something happening that, well, there's a storm in the way of my answer. The answer is already there. It's as close as your lips. You got to speak it. God's solutions are not on the way, they're right in front of you. To win spiritual battles, you must have spiritual senses. Your victory has to happen in the spirit realm. Everything that is seen began in the unseen. So if you can't operate in the unseen, you're never going to see a change on the scene. Hello? Is anybody listening? Did I tell you about the car? All right. To win spiritual battles, you must have spiritual senses. God's power at work in you is greater than the problems surrounding you. Stop. God's power at work in you is greater than the problems that surround you. Ephesians 1, 15 to 22, a little part of it. Here's the Apostle Paul. What's he praying for? That you would get power? Is he praying that God, please give them power? He's not. He's praying. He says, I want you, please give them Spirit of God. Give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of him, their eyes, the eyes of your understanding, your spiritual eyes being opened and enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And it goes on to say that you would become partakers and understand that you're not begging for power. The power is already yours. It's already yours, and it's not yours by performance. He qualified you, it's yours. And Paul is praying that you would get a revelation and really begin to understand who you really are. Amen. Amen. 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and you have overcome them. These tests, these trials, these things that come against you, when it looks like you're surrounded, listen, you are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. He who is in you, not the one you have access to, but the one who is in you, the God, the inheritance, the deposit that he's made in you is greater than anything that could possibly come against you. Settle down. It's a beautiful Baptist church we're in today. Romans 8:31, what then shall we say? What shall we say? What shall we say? What are you going to say? What are you going to say, brother? What are you going to say to these things? Has anybody got some things that are annoying right now? Has anybody got some things? I know there's people that, you got immigration issues. You got things going on. There's been letters, no letters, maybe a letter. I don't know. We see a letter. Is this the letter? You know what? You command the letter to come. You enforce it right now in the name of Jesus. There is favor on my life, and I expect right now that I will have favor in this thing. God, you brought me here, told me to be here. They didn't bring me here, and they can't take me out. God sent me. You put me in. I'm here, and I'm here in the name of Jesus. Let the letters come. Let the proper documentation come. Let it come now in the name of Jesus. What do you say to those things? So be it. Amen. What do we say to those things? If God is for us, is God for you? Is he? I hope so. Is God for you? Is God for you? Has he given you every spiritual word in heavenly realms to call forth his purpose? Has he given you powerful words that call and create the things that are not? Do you declare those things that are not as though they were, because you know that with my voice, I create my future? God is for us. Who can be against us? Acts 20, 24, Paul, the Apostle Paul, who went through so many things. He went through things. I know the things are nasty. Sometimes it's tough. Sometimes it looks awful. But Paul said, none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy. There's a ministry been given to me. There's a life been given to me. There's a destiny been given to me, and I'm serious about it, which I have received from where? From the Lord. The Lord gave me this destiny. The Lord gave me this life, and I'm going to fulfill it with joy. So none of these things move me. I'm trying really hard, Father. None of these things move me, because I know what I've received of the Lord to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Let's go back to our text. You ready? You want to finish the story, right? Let's go back to the text. And Elisha prayed, and he said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Elisha never addressed once the enemy's army. He never said, Lord, crush that army. Oh, God, help us. He never said that. He said, my servant, who is spiritually dumb, who cannot see, would you please open his spiritual eyes? Thank you, God, for opening my spiritual eyes. Thank you, God, for eyes to see and ears to hear. Thank you, God, that I am your child, and you speak to me, and you lead me, and you guide me with your voice. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. What did he see? He fully saw, because the army was still there. Sometimes when you're declaring things to something, it looks like it doesn't change, but trust me, it changed. He beheld the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, and he says, strike these people down, I pray. Just send them, just gorge them, curse them. No, sorry. We don't do that. Strike these people down, I pray, with blindness. And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elijah. Now Elijah said to them, hey, now you might have a problem with this. I have a bit of a dilemma. Elisha's saying he's not here. But that's Elijah. You're Elijah. What do you mean you're not here? You're here. What's going on? He says, well, I'm here right now, but I'm going somewhere. Anyway, this is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. And he really was. He was going to bring them. They were going to have a face-to-face with Elijah. But he led them to Samaria. He led them to the king of Israel. He led them there. So it was, when they had come to Samaria, that Elisha said, say, Elisha said, Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and there were, were in the head capital of Samaria, were here surrounded by the king and all their men, and they're like, oh, this is not good. They opened their eyes, and they went, oh my goodness, look, here we are inside Samaria. Now, when the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, my father, shall I kill them? Yes, indeed, smite them. Everyone, no, did not happen. But that would happen in Avengers. That's why you shouldn't watch that stuff. Here's what you should do. You should forgive them, have a banquet, feed them all, send them quietly back to the planet they came from. Amen? It's a nice biblical ending. All right. Now when the king of Syria saw that, he said, should I kill them? But he answered, he said, you shall not kill them. Would you kill those who you've taken captive by a sword or a bow? Set food and water before them that they may eat and drink, and then they can go back to their master. So they prepared a great feast for them. Amen. They prepared a great feast for them. And after they ate and drank, he sent them away. They went their way to their master. So the band of Syrian raiders came no more into the land of Israel. Isn't that a great story? All right, let me just finish up with this. I want to help you see. I want to help you see. I want to help you hear. I want you to watch, because there is none of you that are not disqualified from seeing and hearing in the Spirit right now. All right? So I don't want to send you away. I want to help you. How many say thank you, Pastor? All right, Hebrews 5:11 says, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you are dull of hearing. So the writer of the Hebrews is saying there's a lot more revelation we could pour out. There's a lot more we could give to you, but you guys are dull. That's what he said, right? You're dull. You're dull of hearing. So you are living independently of God. You are trying to do life on your own. You're unwilling to see and hear in the Spirit. Genesis 3:22, I have to lay this for a bit of background, says, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. So Adam and Eve took of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What was imparted to them was their eyes were opened, and they could now, independently of God, they had the capacity to determine right and wrong. So they were to determine right and wrong. They were going to judge outside of God's judgment. They were going to assign good and evil to things instead of submitting to God. So they were living independently of God as their source. And now let us move them outside of the garden unless they eat of the tree of life. And then they will forever be subject to this dumbed down thought life that separated them from the revelation of God. And he didn't want them to live like that. So their fallen, self-reliant knowing, discerning right and wrong that is independent of God. Now, you should be able to discern right and wrong, but you need to submit that to the knowing of seeing and hearing in the Spirit. So you don't determine right and wrong. You submit to God. When Jesus came and hung on that tree, he destroyed the curse that came from that tree, and now you can live again subject to Almighty God, and you can walk out of the revelation of what is good or what is bad, what is right or what is wrong, led by the Spirit of God, no longer living independently and judging on your own, but you now judge according to the revelation that God has given you, because you're restored to your sonship and daughtership in the kingdom. That was a big deal. That was a big deal. Threw it at you there. Hebrews 5:14, carrying on in Hebrews, he said, but solid food belongs to those who are full age, those who come to maturity. And it's not time. It's not like you're finally mature. 5 more years and you'll be able to live a good life. It's not a product of time. It's a product of revelation. It's a product of heart. It's a product of understanding and faith and believing and trusting what God has given you. So, but solid food belongs to those of full age. That is, those who by reason of use, say reason of use, those who by reason of use, how do you grow up by reason of use? You grow up by reason of use. You grow up by practicing. You grow up by practicing, listening to God, not leaning on your own understanding, not making the calls yourself, but drinking deeply of his life, and not living out of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but living out of the tree of life. By reason of use, they have trained there, they have exercised their senses. Your senses, spiritual senses, must be exercised. That word exercised in the Greek is where we get the word gymnasium. You gotta take your spiritual senses to the gym. Are you working every day on your spiritual senses? Are you working every day using and increasing your capacity to see and hear and walk in the Spirit with God? The reason that they have exercised their senses so that they discern both what is good and what is evil. They have redeemed discernment in the Spirit. So you must become so acquainted with the goodness, the beauty, the character of Christ that everything inconsistent with him becomes immediately recognizable. You baptize yourself in the goodness of God. You baptize yourself in the revelation of Jesus Christ. You don't have to look at the nonsense. You don't have to study what's wrong. You keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, and you will train your spiritual senses to realize that that's not it, that's not it, and that's not it, because I know the truth, and the truth will make me free. It's not truth. It's your knowledge. Your working knowledge of revelation makes you free. We don't train our senses by staring into darkness. We train our spiritual senses by continuously beholding the light. How many people like pictures? I'm going to finish with a little picture. You like a picture? I'm going to simplify the whole thing. You ready? How many like simple? Oh, there, now I get it. Okay, there you go. Okay, there's you. Say you. That's you, that little stick figure in the middle. That's you in your little world. That's you in your world. I am created. I control. This is my world. Everything is good. And then outside of that is the world. It's out there, stuff out there. So there's stuff out there that comes. You get stuff. You get letters from lawyers. You get bills. You get stuff. Things happen. You'll drive your car out and you go, it was $1.64. Now it's $1.84. I'm not going to make it. If gas keeps going up, I'm not going to make it. That's the world. You see, there's another world way beyond that. That's the unseen reality of God's kingdom. And you see, you have authority in whatever's going on. You are not limited. What you get in your paycheck is not it. That's a resource, but what you can walk in, you can call things into manifestation. You can call things that are not as though they were. And if you would train your spiritual senses to walk in that, I mean, you could step into resources that are unseen and call things into manifestation. Listen, quit waking up Jesus and saying, please help me. You have authority to call cargo from the heavenly realm into your life. If there's something going on that is not of God and it doesn't look like light, you have authority to speak to it. You have authority to command it to go. You do. So if you want to change your world, give it proper revelation on your mouth. Because if there's a storm, let Jesus sleep through it, because he's done. He said, I'm going to rest. He sat down at the right hand of the Father, and he said, it's your turn. So come on, let's get understanding. Let's get revelation. Let's, by practice of using our senses, let's grow up in God and become everything that he's called us to be. Because you know where the superhero is in your story? He's right here. You are the captain of your destiny. You can make it happen. You're not waiting for something in the mail. You're not waiting for some anointing at an altar. You're not waiting for something to come out of the sky. You have the riches of God already inside of you. And out of your belly, you can create and call into manifestation things that God wants for you. And that's true. He wants to have it.